Hey, ambitious mama. Welcome to Becoming with Lauren Ricks. I'm so excited and so honored you are here. This podcast is for you if you are an on-the-go mompreneur looking for a different way of doing life and business, a more God-centered way that feels aligned with how you want to show up in this season of life you are in right now. Because I see you, mama, hustling around the clock, burnt out, and missing out on all the moments that you thought you would see because you can't let go of the hustle. There is a different way. And in this podcast, we will cover conversations about God and your faith, being an entrepreneur, all things mother, and out of the box thinking. I cannot wait to take you on this journey with me. Welcome back to Becoming with Lauren Ricks, and today I have a special guest, my husband, Nick, and you guys are listening to this on Tuesday the 13th, so tomorrow is our anniversary, and we have been married for 9 years. 9 years, right? I think eight. Jax is eight.
9 years.
9 years. I never can remember if it's 9 or 8. And I thought it would be fun to do a podcast with me and him and just kind of talk about, I don't know, marriage over the last 9 years, how it's going, how we're doing, any tips we have. We have a handful of questions that were asked on my Instagram and on Facebook that we will kind of go over. But I just kind of want to have a conversation because I've never done a podcast with Nick before. Nick has never been on a podcast.
First timer.
I told him the only rules in this office is there are no rules and we have to have fun. So, let's see, 9 years. We've been together though, what, 11 years? 11 and a half years?
Yeah.
August. Remember? Do you remember when you asked me out? Officially asked me out?
I do. I was on your mom's Harley.
Yeah, we went on that Harley ride.
And we were driving west into the sunset. And I think I leaned back and I said, hey, do you want to go out with me?
We'd been dating for like 6 months, I think, already. Not dating, but like...
That's pretty much how it went, right?
Yeah, that's exactly how it went. Yeah. But we were pretty much dating. I mean, it was kind of like one of those things where you get to an age, because, I mean, we had both obviously dated people before, and we were, what, in our early 20s?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like one of those weird things where it's like, do you really have to ask the person out, even though we were dating from, like, April to...
More of just making it official.
Yeah, I guess it just made it official.
I think because we were hanging out for a while and you were probably wondering like, hey, what are we?
Yeah, what is this?
What is this relationship? And where do you see it going?
Can we stop sneaking around?
So I think I just more or less made it official. I was like, hey, you just want to date me?
Yeah.
Do you want to date?
Now we can meet each other's families. No, we guess we were meeting people by that point. But we snuck around for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. Let's see what else. I think the coolest part of our meeting story is when we actually, the first time we ever really met when we were like teenagers. So Nick and I went to the same high school. He was a senior when I was a freshman. And I obviously knew of him because he was a basketball star. So like... He was Nick Ricks, the senior basketball star. So I knew of him. I don't know if you knew of me. But at one point before we were in high school, I don't know if you remember this because I only remember it because it was in my diary when you stopped by my house one time. I don't remember when that was. You must have been 16 or 17. I think it was before the fair or something. And we must have been talking on MSN or something when that was a big thing. I don't even remember all of those details.
Yeah, I think I do recall that during the fair. I don't know when.
I don't remember.
I know I was driving. But I don't know if I think it might have been maybe it was junior summer going into senior year.
Maybe. I don't know.
No.
I feel like it was
sophomore going to junior.
Maybe. Younger like than that. But then when I was packing up my parents' house, that's when I found that diary that had you in there. And it had a piece of paper with your phone number on it. And at the time, your phone number was still the same phone number. Do you remember that?
I don't. What was that phone number?
Oh, your 688 number?
Sure.
Was that the same number you had forever? Or was it 684?
I think that was a different number.
Oh.
Yeah, that was high school.
But number. I remember when I was packing up all my boxes and stuff after we had gotten married and to move into the house we moved into, I found that diary. And that's when, like, your name and stuff was in there and your phone number was in there. And it was like, whoa, this has been a long time coming.
Yeah.
Totally God thing.
When you think about that.
Yeah, when you look back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Okay, so that's a little bit about our story, our love story that started back when we were teenagers. And we didn't get married until we started dating when I was 22, I think. You were however old you were. So it started when we were young, but it didn't officially start until we were old. And now here we are, even older. So here are questions that we're just going to kind of have a conversation about. The first one is how and or tips on keeping your marriage a priority after having multiple kids. You have any words of wisdom? There.
Keeping it a priority, you definitely have to do just that. Keep it a priority. I think you have to have it something that you just do all the time, like brushing your teeth.
Yeah.
You know.
And that doesn't mean it's easy, because I mean, we're not perfect, and we have times where we drive each other crazy, and we have times where we butt heads, and we have times where we're like, you're driving me crazy, you're driving me crazy, but we're still here, right? And we're still pursuing each other, even if we're like, have days where we're off.
Yeah, you're doing it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not like, I don't know, you're not taking a back seat. You're not giving up. Like, there's no other choice.
Right.
I think you have to approach it that way.
Right. Do you feel like, you know how some people say like, oh, you need to put your marriage before your kids? I feel like that gets harder with the more kids you have, but then that also makes it mean you have to be like more focused on making your marriage a priority, right? Because I mean, it could be so easy for you to go to work and do your thing at work and me to be home with the kids, and then you come home and then us barely talk, and then the kids go to bed, and then I go to bed, and then you stay up and watch TV, and we go 24 hours without even like talking. Like, we've obviously had days like that.
You mean
but
like yesterday?
Like yesterday.
Is that what you described?
Was that yesterday?
I think
I'm just saying, like, we, okay, you guys have been here long. If you've been listening to me long enough, I've been in my luteal phase for the last couple days, and that's why. It's my week before my period. Uh-huh. And you know that, like, I would say one of my biggest tips was when I started learning about cycle syncing, and I knew that why sometimes I'm a little bit more irritated before my cycle, and I learned that, and it wasn't just like Nick's fault, and I knew that it was me just being hormonal because of my period. That helped a lot, because then I could tell him that, like, hey, I'm gonna be more irritated this week because I'm gonna be having my period in a couple days, and just beware. And I feel like that helped, instead of it always just being like me snappy at you and
me wondering why.
You wondering why.
Yeah, thanks, like, thanks for the heads up.
You know.
Yeah.
When I'm more irritated, it's definitely probably because my period is coming. The next question. This one was from me. What has been the hardest stage of our marriage so far for us? You want me to go? I can go. I think.
I thought you said this question's for me.
Well, I am the one who wrote it.
Oh.
But it's for both of us to talk about.
Okay.
But I can say what I think, and then you can say what you think if you want.
Yeah.
I think for me, the hardest part was when Well, there's two different times, I think, about when we had Parker, and both kids always wanted me, and Parker wasn't taking a bottle. And there would be nights where I'd be in Parker's room, and neither one of the kids would want you, and Grayson would be crying sitting next to me, and Parker would be eating from me. And it was like, I was so tapped out. Also, I think a hard time was when we moved to Utah, and we moved away from, like, everybody we knew. And it was just, like, me and you and the kids.
Yeah.
That was hard. Because it was like, we didn't have help. Like, we didn't have anyone to be like, can you just come and relieve us for a couple hours so we could go talk, go on date nights? Like, there was none of that. It was just us trying to figure out this new normal. That's my two times where I feel like it's been the hardest for me in our marriage.
I don't know. I think the hardest time, yeah, the initial move to Utah. I think any move is really hard.
Yeah.
Like the second this last move, I mean, we did the same thing, but it gets hard as you have more stuff, yeah, and you have
more kids,
little kids,
and moving to somewhere where we know nobody, so it's not like
we're doing it all over again.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, all right, we were here before. We will be able to figure it out. But yeah, it's kind of just like you totally putting yourself out there. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think any move, really, that's the hardest part for me. I mean, for you being a young mother with now two, that's a different drastic story. I think we kind of wondered how that was going to go with Grayson and Parker, and then having two, and
yeah,
there's definitely stages of it.
That yeah,
it's easy. Sometimes it's easy, and sometimes it's really, really hard.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to be life.
Yeah.
You go through stages.
And I think there's hard, and I don't even like to use the word hard and easy, challenging stages in every stage, challenging parts in every stage, you know, like,
it's going to be different
with the kids and with even just like the marriage, you know, like we have some weeks that were really good. And then some couple days where we're like, I'm just going to bed. I don't even want to talk about anything. I'm going to bed. But the kids are like that too. Like we talk about this too, where it's like, oh my gosh, Grayson has been so good. He's in such a fun stage. And then it's like the next day we're like, what is happening? Oh, he hasn't pooped in 3 days. Maybe that's why he's cranky.
Yeah.
All these, I feel like there's things. Okay, here's a question that I just thought of that I don't think's on there. What, 9 years in, let's talk parenthood. What is something you wish you would have known before you had kids that now you know? That like,
how many poopy diapers did you change?
About the poop. And I feel like I should have known that because my mom used to talk about
my
brother and his pooping issues. And Grayson is so much like that. But yeah, the poop. I think for me, it's like,
it's the poop. It's all.
And you don't even you don't even have to deal with that much poop, considering like being at work all day. For me, it's like the talking back or the like asking them to do something and them just being like, no. And the constant like power battles. I feel like I have a lot of power battles with Parker. And that half the time I'm just like, fine, whatever, just have it then. Because she power battles me like Grayson power battles you. Because you and Grayson are very much similar and me and Parker are very much similar in different ways, you know? So it's like you and Grayson, but this is what I see on the outside. Maybe you don't see
this. I see it a similar way than you, but different.
How so?
I see that Parker and I are the same, and you and Grayson butt heads.
How so?
Well, you and Grayson are kind of the same.
In what way?
In a lot of ways.
Okay, give me some examples, because I see you and Grayson.
I see myself and Grayson, too.
Yeah.
I mean, myself and both of them, but I feel like sometimes Grayson is more like you, which, you know, it's kind of like me arguing with you about something. And Parker, like me, when she's arguing with you about something, like it's, do you see what
I'm
saying?
Can you give an example? Do you have like an example in mind where like I'm arguing with Grayson and
Well, you're no, when you're arguing with Parker.
When I'm arguing with Parker, Parker's yeah. more like you.
Yeah. I see like myself in Parker where if there's an argument or something, like I would react the same way. Or Parker reacts the same way as I would.
How do you react? How do you think you react?
I don't know. How okay. do I think I react? Yeah.
How does Parker react then?
Just like, just off the top of the head. Whatever.
Yeah, she's emotional because she's...
Well, she's also three.
Yeah, well.
So you don't know. She's probably just expressing them, but...
Yeah. I think you and Grayson are similar in the sense of, like, your tones and how you like things done the right way.
I'm sure. There's a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy to, like... I mean, he's six.
Yeah.
Parker's three.
Well, here's something.
So what are they going to be like when they're 11?
Oh, I know. I know. Well, here's something else for those of you who know human design. I'm a manifesting generator. Parker's a manifesting generator. We're both emotional authorities, which mean we're both going to be emotional. Nick and Grayson are generators. And I think they're both sacral authorities, I think. So that's why I see those two more, they have like more similarities. Parker, I've already noticed, like she's way more energetic in the sense of like an energizer bunny. Like I feel like she doesn't crash until she crashes, and it takes her a lot to crash.
But when she crashes hard and fast.
Yeah, when she crashes.
Like 10 seconds and she's sleeping.
Yeah. You want to read the next one?
How to make date nights alone time work. One-on-one or with each other?
Like, so how do we make date nights work and alone time, like each of us having alone time work?
How do we make date nights? We're on a date right now.
Yeah, this was our date night tonight.
This is our date night. We have the door shut.
Well, the kids are sleeping.
The kids are upstairs sleeping.
We did an early bedtime.
And this is how we have them. And we have some... charcuterie and some wine, and we build a desk.
Yeah, that was our date night tonight. I think one of the biggest things is having it be flexible, especially with little kids, and not thinking like date night only has to be out at a restaurant, because we've learned not having family around to just depend on to watch our kids, or even knowing a babysitter where it's like, okay, we're gonna do date night in, no phones, let's just hang out. We'll do date night in, just like the communication piece about it, I think.
Yeah.
And we've never though been one where it's like every week we have to go on a date night.
No. And sometimes I think you need just some one-on-one time with yourself.
Oh yeah.
And just away from it, or just somewhere to forget and relax and release. And, you know, like for me, golfing. If I just have to go out and get out and play some golf by myself, or Grayson comes with me, I think even that's kind of a relaxing time for both Grayson and me.
Right. And as he gets older, it's going to be even better.
Yeah. But I think having that and saying like, hey, I need to do something this weekend that I like to do. I need to get out in the woods or golf or...
And that goes both ways. And I think that's one of the biggest things that like, I feel like I've gotten better at, one, since like when I first hired my first one-on-one mentor, and she had mentioned that of like making sure that both of us are prioritizing one-on-one time, like alone time separate to fill our cups. I feel like that was huge. And then me just being able to recognize when I need it, because it's not always every week, but even like me, and I don't want to say like grocery shopping is alone time, but I can make it alone time and have fun and like extend it to be longer. But the communication piece, right? Like you don't know I need alone time unless I tell you, hey, I'm like tapped out and I need to go do something, right? So I think the communication piece, which we have gotten better at over the last 9 years, I feel like. But we still probably have a lot that we can work on for communication. But I also think, like, when Grayson was a baby and we lived in Thief River with both our parents a mile away, like, our communication was probably really good, but we didn't have nearly as many stressors and different factors that we have now, right? So it's like a totally different stage of life we're in now than it was.
Yeah. It's being kind of out on your own.
Yeah, we're totally out on our own.
A little bit.
We have no one we can depend on except school.
Well, we have each other.
Well, yeah, but
depend on each other. But you feel like, you know, you're on a 4-person ship.
Yeah.
And you're out in the middle of the water and it's just you guys.
And you got to figure shit out.
Yeah. You got to navigate.
Yeah.
You got to find out where you're going and, you know, track where you've been. I think it's important to look back and see where you've been, but you ultimately have to find out where you're going to steer your ship.
Right. I think for both of us too, both of us are oldest of 4. So I think both of us have that mentality of like, we just are going to make it work. You know, like when we go through situations like a move and it's hard, we don't have this mindset of like quitting or like this isn't going to work or let's just go back home. We'll make it work.
We steer the ship.
We steer the ship. One of us, one or the other, is steering the ship while the other one is maybe throwing up over the side.
Or taking turns.
Or taking turns. The other question, well, there's a couple more, but one was how did we make the decisions on moving? So if you guys are new here or you don't follow along on social media, we have moved what? Since we've been married, we've moved from our Eagles house.
Four times.
To our Riverbend house, which were in the same town, our hometown. Then we moved to West Fargo, which was 2 hours away from our hometown. Then from West Fargo, we moved to Utah, and we were in Utah for barely 2 years. And then from Utah, we moved to Texas. So we've moved 5 times, 5 different houses in 9 years.
Yeah.
How did we ever decide on making moves like that? Not so much Thief River to Thief River or Thief River to Fargo, but like Utah. I mean, if you think about it, we've left everything we've known twice.
What's the biggest decision?
How did we make that decision together?
Well, I think part of it was we wanted to, well, for me, I wanted to give Grayson and, you know, our children maybe something a little different than what we experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least have them be willing to experience some things, and also wanting to do something with my own career, you know, having aspirations to do big things. And I just felt like where we were at the time wasn't where that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of, once again, took a chance and started working for a company called Granger. And that's brought us to where we are today.
Mm-hmm. I feel like both of us, too, are very, God-led in different ways, where it's like maybe, I don't know, I can't speak for yourself, but I'm like, okay, God, if this is the way, show me the signs. And I feel like for Houston, he showed us so many signs after we had that. And I trust Nick's decision. Like, if he's like, I think this is what we should be doing, I'm really sound on this decision. I'm really feel calm about it. And I feel like this is the right decision. I trust his decision making and I support it. So for me, there wasn't any second guessing ever, I feel like.
Yeah, that's good for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say that I never second guessed this move a couple times.
Well, during the moving was hell, yeah.
Yeah.
But
no, the decision, yeah. I mean, we both, I think we were on the same page for every time that we moved. We both felt like it was what we were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we had peace with it. I think that was the biggest thing, is every time that we said, you know, I think we should do this, we've had just like utter peace about the decision and kind of a calm, calm peaceness to it where, yeah, like when you sit on it, it doesn't feel, I don't get anxious about it.
Right. But it's also like, I'm sure people from the outside are like, that makes no sense. Why would you do that? Why would you,
yeah.
Why would you pick sure. up? Why would you guys just got to Utah? Why would you pick up and move to Texas? I don't know. It doesn't make sense. Like, this is just, why would you leave everything you know and move to Utah where you know nobody? I don't know. Doesn't make sense.
No, I mean, sometimes it
doesn't
make
sense.
No, you're not supposed to have it figured out. You just, if there's opportunities and if you're willing and open to that, I think opportunities present themselves. And if you're ready to just kind of jump in, then that's what we've done,
right?
For the last 3 years.
Yeah, for real. I think we both, too, knew going even into marriage, I mean, that we didn't necessarily, one, want to stay in Thief River forever, our hometown. But also, we both wanted to, move somewhere else, out of state somewhere, right? So yeah. I feel like that was kind of, we got to a point where the kids were at ages where it's like, if we're going to do it, we need to do it before they get, settled and have all these friends to move. So, that was also a factor in moving.
Yeah, while we were young and you just having, little kids, you mm-hmm. have 3 good years to, and that's basically what we've done the last 3 years, but where you don't really have to worry about a school, daycare, mm-hmm. if you were at home with Grayson. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we both agreed that while we're young, let's do this and experience some things. And once we get more established and the kids get older, we want to be somewhere where we can kind of dig our roots in a little bit.
And I feel like we'll be here for a while. After this move, I don't feel like we want to move anytime soon. we'll be here for a while. I don't know how long a while is, but I feel like both of us thought Utah was kind of like a stepping stone and we didn't think we would be there for 5 years. We kind of had an idea we'd be there for a couple of years and that's barely what it was.
Yeah. I think I had an internal plan, if nothing happened within 5 years, we'd have to do something, but mm-hmm. it didn't even come to that.
No.
So.
Okay. This is a good one. What is our biggest communication strength and weaknesses? How has it changed over the last 9 years? What is our biggest communication strengths and weaknesses, and how has it changed over the last 9 years? I feel like as you add kids, a lot can change with communication. I was actually talking to Joelle about this the other day, and because she had asked, how do you and Nick communicate when you are kind of in an argument or having a tiff about something? And I was like, for me, I like to be able to text you and hash it out, because I feel like when you come home, the kids are crazy and we don't always get that time once you get home from work.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's the kids go to bed and then I'm tired and I just want to go to bed. And I don't know if that's probably not the best way to communicate when you're having something you're not agreeing on. But I also feel like I have a hard time. Here's a weakness of mine when it comes to communication. I have a hard time when I feel like you're coming at me in a critical way. I instantly get defensive, or I freeze, and then I don't want to talk about it. So that's why for me, it's easier for me to think about what I want to say to you and then text it to you and then let you marinate on that. And then you come back and talk to me when you have read that over.
Here's just a memoir memo. I was just sending out quick about how I feel about what you did.
Exactly. Because I cannot get words out when we're in the moment, because I literally freeze or I'm in defensive mode and I want to fight about it and I get emotional. And then a lot of the times I cry or I'm mad and I just don't, that doesn't solve anything.
Yeah.
That's my communication style.
That's your weakness.
That's my weakness.
What your strength was... Texting.
I like to talk, but I like to talk.
Your strength was texting?
My strength is texting while talking. Talking while texting.
Yeah. Those are pretty definitive. I mean, strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah. Yep. How do you like to communicate?
I like to just think about things forever and just never say anything about them.
What?
No.
I can't even classify that as communicating.
Total opposite.
Keeping everything bottled up inside and never saying anything's wrong.
I think I've learned to communicate more as I've gotten more mature and elderly.
And I think your career job positions have forced you
to do that. I think that was a big thing. I've always been kind of just private or shy about public speaking. Never really liked it or had to do it a lot, but always didn't want to do it. I'd have anxiety about it. I don't want to get up in front of people and talk.
Yeah. But how do you feel like you do with criticism, or not criticism, that's not the word I'm looking for, conflict? Because I struggle with conflict. So when we have an issue and it's conflict or criticism, that's where I have an issue.
and conflict of interest. We disagree.
We do sometimes very much disagree in different areas. Yeah.
So yeah, I would say I've learned over the years of like recognizing feelings and, you know, actively trying to acknowledge them and then like, hey, like calm down, like calming myself down.
You calming yourself down, which I think helps when we can just text.
Yeah. Back to the text, the communication.
But it might just be a season of life.
Let's just do that. Let's just talk through text.
Well, not all the time. This is great, having this conversation right now. This podcast is forcing us to.
I think, yeah, that's probably it. It's just forcing yourself to have to talk about what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes...
Sometimes you text.
Sometimes I text because I'm during the day and I feel good wanting to talk about it. And
tell me your feelings.
But then when you get home, I'm so exhausted by 5:30 and you're exhausted by 5:30. Do we really want to have an emotional conversation about what happened the night before?
No,
because then we end up blowing up and being mad about it because we're both tired and stressed from the day. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And one day it will be different when our children aren't pulling on our legs and yelling at us all the time.
Yep. You have to adapt.
You have to adapt.
And we've learned that adapting through texting is the best way.
Just for struggles. Just when we're having a struggle. Oh my gosh. Okay. Family goals. Let's move on. Family goals. What do they look like now versus 9 years ago? Honestly, I feel like we're living our family goal right now that we probably thought of and dreamt about 9 years ago.
Do you think so?
Well, to some extent. We're maybe not making as much as we maybe thought we'd be making yet.
Well, what was our goal?
I don't know. Did we have a family goal? I like go back to what we were talking about, how we thought, like, you know, like we wanted to move somewhere different. We wanted to move out of state. We wanted to give our kids different experiences. We have done that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean.
Yeah, I would say we've checked off some things on our goal, on our goal list.
Yeah.
For sure.
I don't know if we ever sat down and talked about what our family goals are, though.
No, I think I would agree with what you said, like. We kind of had like what a 5-year plan for our kids, right? Maybe a 7-year plan.
Yeah.
We had a 5-year plan for ourselves, but then when we have kids, like, okay, we'll give ourselves another 2 years. So 7-year plan. And yeah, I would say we are doing what we had kind of planned on doing.
Mm-hmm. It looks totally different though, because when we were in Utah, we thought we'd be moving back to Minnesota.
Yeah.
That was we were kind of pretty set on that, but that didn't pan out. Yet,
right?
Who knows? Yet. I was gonna say something else too. I don't know.
So I would say, I'll ask you a question. What is our family goal for the next 5 years?
To stay put.
And text each other.
And text each other that we're staying put.
Okay. Well, that's an easy one.
Yeah, like I want to.
But what would you say? Okay, that's just like establishing where we are. But what would be a goal for our family in 5 years?
I don't really set goals anymore. But what about an intention?
What
do we want to work towards? Work for? I really want to build a pool in the back of our yard.
Parker will be 8 years old
in 5 years. That's weird.
Yeah.
Both the kids will be in school.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Parker will be 8.
Yeah.
Grayson will be 11.
Weird. I don't know. What do we want to work towards as a family? It'd be fun to go on a family trip, but I feel like they definitely have to be old and older. Like Disney or something would be fun to take them on.
Perfect time.
They definitely have to be older than 3 and 6, though.
Within the next 5 years.
Yeah.
So in 5 years, if we do it at 8 and 11.
That would be even like 7 and 10.
Yeah, I think I mentioned 8 and 11 earlier in this podcast. Something about their ages.
Maybe.
Yeah, weird.
Weird. Yeah.
Next question.
Last question.
Last one?
Yeah, I know. It goes by fast. 38 minutes. Goes by fast when you're talking on a podcast and you have things to say and you got a couple liquid courage drinks under your belt. Top things we want to teach our children over the next couple years. Kindness. One thing I really want to teach our children is how to express their emotion in a way that's kinder. Like, to make sure they know they can express their emotion, but can we do it in a way that's not hurting others or screaming at other people? And that probably is their ages for sure, but, you know?
Yeah. I feel like we're in a stage.
I know. We're totally in a stage. But that's something I want to be able to teach them, because I feel like to let them know that it's okay to have emotion and they can express it, but we just, let's find ways for them to express it. Also to be kind. Also to stick up for each other. Like those two, like Parker and Grayson stick up for each other, but also like stick up for other people when they see something that like isn't right. Sticking up for other people when they notice something like that, you know?
Like bullying or
yeah, like if they
picking on somebody.
Yeah, like sticking up.
Speaking up.
Speaking up.
Saying something.
Yeah, saying something.
Yeah, you kind of got me on a tangent. What was the question?
What top things we want to teach our children over the next...
Okay. I'd like to teach Grayson golf.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
I mean, the question was, was what do we want to teach our children?
Okay.
So you're talking about the emotions.
Yeah, perfect. Of course I am talking about the emotions.
I'm talking about life skills. So like a skill of golfing. Golf. Picking it up early, learning something new. I think Grayson's really good at learning new things or wanting to. The part about being good at it is what is very
he struggles
hard
with that.
For him. To comprehend, like, why am I not as good as dad? Why can't I hit it 300 yards?
Yeah.
And I think he struggles with not being able to seeing something done and being able to do that. If you can't do that, it's like, why do I want to play this?
Right.
If I can't do that.
Right. If I can't be good right off the bat, why
if
do I
want
to do it?
If I can't just be an Olympic athlete right away, why, and I have to, the biggest thing for him was like practicing, like, you don't just become good at things. You have to do it over and over and over and practice. And I think he learned that last year, but now finding something like golf that's so challenging and practice at it. And if you can pick those two things up, I think he'll learn a lot about life and himself.
It will be interesting to see if that characteristic trait of his goes away over time. And I think about like when you ask him like, hey, do you want to play basketball on the basketball team? No. Do you want to put, you know, like, do you want to play football on a team? No. Like he doesn't want to put himself out there in a way that like where he doesn't know what he's doing, you know? He likes to know what he's doing before he like goes and does something.
Yeah. He likes to have all the answers, the rules and the plan before he even tries.
Yeah.
And if he's not Michael Jordan at basketball the first time he goes out, like he doesn't, I'm done with this.
I'm done.
I can't do this. I can't run and I'm tired.
He's mad. Where Parker is totally opposite even now. Parker's like,
yeah,
let me keep trying.
She's
I want
like,
to do it.
Let me do it.
Let me do it.
I'll do it.
Doesn't get it. No, me do it again. Okay.
Yeah.
She just keeps trying. It's just interesting how kids can come from the same two people and be, not that they're completely different, but be so different.
Isn't that something like, Grayson's a lot like you?
What?
Like, if you can't be good at something or a sport,
no,
I just don't want to do it anymore.
It has nothing to do with me being good at it.
I think you quit a few times at some sports.
Yeah, but it wasn't because I wasn't good. It was just because I didn't want to do it anymore.
Oh, well, you didn't want to do it anymore because you weren't good.
Maybe because I didn't like it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't excite me, babe, I'm out.
Exactly.
You're lucky you're still here.
Oh, I see a lot of similarities there with Grayson and you.
You still excite me after 9 years. Did you catch that?
Oh, hence why I think Grayson is a lot like you.
Yeah,
and Parker's a lot like me.
We're all very similar.
I attack something, and I'm not satisfied until I complete it.
Yeah. I cut corners and do things my way. If I can't do it my way...
If I'm not good at it, I don't want to do it.
If I can't do it my way, I'm out.
That's very similar.
Yeah, it's kind of very similar.
Yeah.
You like to follow the rules, and I'm like, what are the rules? I don't want to follow those. How can I make it get done faster? Like, how many times have I built a shelf and you come home and you're like, did you follow the instructions? Nope. And there's things that are totally wrong with it.
But it's just like, you just, I can figure this out.
I figure it out.
How hard could it be?
I figure it out. Yeah, I just don't always follow the instructions. And sometimes it doesn't always look perfect because I don't have to have it look perfect. And there might be things backwards on it and it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, why did you marry me in the first place then?
That's totally fine. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that.
You didn't know this. You didn't know this when we got married. That was I was a this way, did you?
You never no, you didn't mention that. Cutting corners. I think
we even each other out.
Yeah, but I think when we were first dating and you know, I was like remodeling a house. And so I don't know if, like, I really even saw you in your element of...
I helped you.
No, I'm not saying.
I helped you in the house.
Didn't help me, but I just never saw you in, like, your own element of doing something. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if I was working or whatever, you know, on the house, like...
I'm overdoing my own thing.
Yeah, I don't know that I witnessed you doing that. Before we, like, got married. But, yeah, I mean, you helped me with the house and you helped me do
well,
a lot
and I
of
think,
stuff.
Like,
in
so...
In our Riverbend house, you did a lot of work and stuff.
I think, you know, me and Nick started dating the month that I started my Beachbody business also. That same month. And I think, you know, like, I worked my business a lot when you were gone working. And then when you were home... I didn't really do a lot of work because I wanted to be with you. So it's like you never got to see me doing my own thing.
Yeah.
Because you were gone a lot building bins when we first started dating. I mean, there would be, you'd be gone for a whole week and we'd see each other for a couple of days and then you'd be gone for a whole week again. I also think, you know, when you're dating somebody, you don't really know them until you, I don't even want to say like until you live together, but I feel like you don't really get to fully know somebody until you have to go through like challenges and struggles and stress with them, right? Like, I've been reading this purpose-driven book and he's been talking about in there like the challenges and the struggles are like what brings out like your character, right? And you don't necessarily know that about another person until you have to go through that kind of stuff with them. Right? And I mean, when you're first dating somebody, what kind of struggles do you have to go through? Jealousy?
How about a flight to Portland?
Yeah, we nailed... Oh, well, we struggled.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that was...
That was airplane, not us.
You do things like travel to see like how the other person does in stressful situations, right?
Yeah, you suck in stressful situations. Do you know that?
I do?
You get so stressed in stressful situations.
Is that why I have gray hair?
Yeah, totally.
It's totally why.
But when we went to Portland for the first time after 2 months of hanging out, I don't know if I would suggest this because you could have totally like murdered me in a hotel room and left me in Oregon by myself.
I was testing your stress levels and how you responded.
Was I stressed?
No, I don't know. But that was kind of the test.
Oh, that's why you invited me along.
Just to be like, how do you do traveling? Like, are you okay traveling?
That was a funny trip too because our plane got delayed, remember?
Yeah.
Was that flight? We got stuck in the Fargo airport for 2 or 3 hours and we couldn't leave because we didn't have a vehicle. I think that was because Steph dropped us off at the airport.
Yep.
And we were stuck there.
Yeah.
That was our first trip. And that was the trip. I remember coming home from that trip and being like, Steph, he's the one after that trip.
So I must have not have been that stressed on the trip.
You're stressed when you add the children involved. Oh. Like our most recent trip, when our flight from Minneapolis to wherever got canceled, yeah, and we were stranded somewhere, and you were so.
I'm telling you that kids add a whole new level.
You weren't even dealing with the kids, though. I was dealing with the kids.
Yeah, I know, but it's kind of like as a man's perspective, it's like, hey, this is my family, and am I gonna make my family sleep in an airport tonight?
Or, no, we got a hotel room.
I know.
We made it work.
Yeah, we did.
I
was upset about the flight because the flight was sitting right there, but there was no pilots to fly it. That was the biggest. Like, reason why I was upset. Because all we need is a pilot. The flight is fine. The plane is sitting here ready to board. There's no pilot.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, crap. It's 10:30. Everything's closed in the airport. What do? We have two kids and four suitcases. No car seats. Luckily, I found out you can rent car seats.
Oh, okay.
And now we know in a taxi. And
we there wasn't any cars, though, because all the rental cars were gone.
All the rental cars were gone, so you had to get a shuttle to, like, a hotel somewhere and be stranded in a hotel until maybe we rented a car somewhere else outside of the city. But
more of the story, we made it work. Nick was really stressed.
I'm still stressed about it. I'm still freaking out.
I had a it will all work out mentality. That's where I think we even each other out, where I try and stay calm.
Calm me down a little bit.
I try and stay calm in the stressful situations where Nick is stressful.
Stressed? Am I stressful? Where
he is the stressful one. Where he is the stressed one. And I try and calm us down. He's the logical one and the one who does things by the rules. And I bend them.
I do things by the rules. I think I think of a couple steps like ahead, or like logically playing out scenarios. Like, if this happens, what do? We do this? Okay, it's a good idea. Keep that one there.
I think that way too, though. I also see big picture. I'm a very big picture, like,
that's seer. Why you're so zen. In airports with kids at 10:30 at night.
We walked around. We did a lot of walking. All right. Do you have anything else you want to say? If you guys want, we can do a part two. Maybe I should bring Nick back for a part two, because we're already 50 minutes in and we could probably sit here and we could have Nick and Lauren BS episodes every couple months after we put the kids to bed. And you guys could hear things that we don't even necessarily talk to each other about, but we're on the podcast. Anything else? Any words of wisdom you have in terms of marriage, parenting after 9 years? Because we did make it through. Did you know there's a thing at 7 years, when people are married for around 7 years, they kind of get like, what's the word? Like, there's a 7-year spell where people just, like, once they hit 7 years, they're kind of just, like, over their spouse. Or they're, like, really? They get divorces. Yeah.
After 7 years?
Yeah, they just kind of get bored.
Did you just read this?
I think I was talking to Joelle about it somewhere. Yeah, they get bored because probably...
I've never heard of that.
One, probably because... I'm just going to say it. One, they're probably not having sex regularly. I mean, think about it. If you're not, like, physically touching each other... We get ornery when we haven't done it in a while. If you're not pursuing the other person and like making conversation and like caring.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things I heard this somewhere, and I don't remember where I heard it, but never stop dating your spouse. Who said that?
Everybody says that.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's a thing. Everybody
says that. Is that a thing?
Yeah. You probably heard that a lot of places. But do you think we date each other?
I would say more of like pursuing each other.
And we try and keep it fun. Like, I feel like...
Have fun? Laugh?
We could do a lot better with laughing more and having more fun. But
I think we've learned to have fun. Try to have fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to do some things
with kids to have fun when you're tired. But we have fun sometimes. Wrestle, mm-hmm. tickle fights, laugh.
There's little bits of fun. I think you sprinkle in
little tiny bits of fun.
You just keep it a little bit fun.
Every couple months, we have a little bit of fun.
Yeah. So there's always something to look forward to. You don't want to have fun all the time. Otherwise, it's like, what is this? Is this life? Is this always fun? No, well, it's not actually like this all the time. Life can be hard. Life can be, you know, everybody's mad at the same time. That's life. But if you sprinkle some fun in there, you're gonna make it worth
it. This is our new life goal, is to flip that.
Sprinkle some fun.
No. Our new life goal is to have fun and adventure be our normal and sprinkle in hardship and anger every once in a while. Flipping them.
Well, I'm not going to say that. That's how it's going to be.
I'm going to make that happen.
Okay. Sprinkle some fun.
You want to know what?
I think that's a good motto.
The only rule in this room is to have fun.
Sprinkle some fun.
Sprinkle in some fun. Every day, sprinkle in some fun.
Yep.
There you go. That's our marriage tip.
You heard it here.
From Nick and Lauren. One,
sprinkle some fun.
Sprinkle in some fun. That's how you keep it. Can we rhyme?
Keep it going for 9 years.
Can we rhyme with fun? Sprinkle in some fun. That's how you get some pun. Bun. That's how you get some bun. Sprinkle in some fun. That's how you get some bun. You know, bun. Some. Get some.
We're going to edit that out.
Okay. We're going to end here. Thank you for listening. If you guys want to hear another episode with Nick and Lauren, you can let me know on our socials. Otherwise, we will talk to you guys later.